Welcome back to the 10 List of Tech Podcast. Nick, what do you have to say for yourself?
What do I have to say for myself? I'm very proud that everyone enjoyed the episode so much last week. So many people wrote in feedback, we'll put it that way, feedback about myself and
feedback.
My opinions and what y'all thought about them. I'll say, indeed, I am a professional. So anyone who says that I'm not a professional, go shove it up wherever you think you're professional, because I am definitely a professional.
Shove it in your Thunderbolt port.
It would be nice if there were four of them for people to shove it in, but there aren't. So sucks to be you, I guess.
Well, Randy, what's the audiophile perspective on AirPods 3? I must know. I've been waiting all week for this opinion.
Did you watch my unboxing?
I caught a part of it, but I was in the middle of working.
Was that when you called me?
So I didn't.
Randy?
Yes.
Okay. Oh yeah.
So I got like maybe 3 minutes of your live stream there, and you weren't talking about the AirPods. You're talking about something else. Whenever I was in the stream, and then you called me later.
I only asked because I just want to know how I'm gonna tailor this. I caught your unboxing, Drew, and anyway, from an audiophile's perspective. We alluded to this back and forth when you were doing your first impressions, but
yeah,
where AirPods 2 makes up for its lack of sound, and I also mean kind of almost literally because it's a smaller speaker too,
right?
These drivers are so tiny that it really compensates on pushing more bass than what you would get on this. On the AirPods 3. So in that sense, it's more flushed. But the longer I'm using it, honestly, I'm having a harder time finding a recommendation for them.
Interesting. Really?
Yeah. I don't know if I can be honest to myself and then to anybody who's asking me and fully recommend these. And
okay.
The sound quality is great, but there's AirPods Pro is better. AirPods Pro is the more we keep getting new things to try it out, the more I keep appreciating AirPods Pro.
Yeah.
And it's not comfortable in the ear. For me, this is the part where I'm going to get a little subjective, but this one right here keeps falling out. As we speak, it's loose. It just keeps getting loose. I keep pushing it back in because the design, it's so bulby. Whereas AirPods...
That's a shame, because I know that's what you were mostly looking forward to.
I was really rooting for it, yeah. AirPods 2 gives the right curvature where it starts to fit into your ear, where it sits more comfortably in the air.
Yeah.
And... as much as I appreciate the tech of what it's doing with the adaptive EQ, it just sounds like I have constant transparency turned on. That's right. Just crappier transparency because I can hear there's something muffling going on in my eardrum because there's something blocking. Whereas AirPods Pro, transparency is probably the best I've ever used, and it doesn't sound like there's anything obstructing in lifetime. Mm-hmm. So, for a battery case, great. I'm pushing these things to where I'm killing them, and they're holding out very well. And mm-hmm. I think that's amazing. I think the sound is extremely balanced based off of that adapting EQ. I start sliding it out of my ear just a little bit, and I do hear it change immediately to readjust the frequency of going through. But it's only doing that to artificially do what AirPods Pro does naturally without any of that happening. And because of that, I have a better sound quality with AirPods Pro. And I keep comparing it to AirPods Pro because it looks like it. It's designed like it, minus the suction cup. If they adjust it, I wonder if some of my critiques would be pivoted if they changed the stem. Not the stem, but the driver to be more in line and design with the AirPods 2 and 1, that it kind of goes in more. It's a bigger sound that's coming out, but it's just it's trying to be both AirPods 2 and AirPods Pro, and it can't own either of those. So it's trying to be a good hybrid, and I think it checks off the hybrid part. AirPods Pro is the better sounding one. AirPods 2 is the better comfort, and AirPods 2 now being cheaper is well worth recommending that one from a price point. And if you want to do $50 more and you want to get this design, I can only say, and where, because it's you have to try, you have to put them on. If you can go to the store, an Apple store, and they let you try it on, you'll know within the first 3 to 5 minutes how that's actually going to be staying for a long period of time in your ear. For me, they're okay-ish, and for comfort's the most important thing, because it's the deal breaker for people who, like, if they have over ears, they don't want it putting pressure on the head, and so that's why they like using Bose or the Sonys, for example, whereas, like, AirPod Max was, it sits on the ear, but after a while it can really start pushing in, but they have that foam to help alleviate that pressure. But how the comfort is over time is very important, and it only made me appreciate the sound quality of AirPods Pro, and it makes me appreciate the comfort fit of AirPods 2. So the tech is great. Spatial audio is fine. It's not that I'm indifferent about spatial audio. It's just, I would strongly push people to get AirPods Pro then, if that's what you're leaning into. I think for what the price, not price per dollar, but price per pod. Yeah. AirPods
price
Pro
per
is,
EQ.
There you go. AirPods Pro is way more, way more bang for your buck, and you do get your money's worth out of it. That being said, I can't even recommend an AirPods Pro right now.
Yeah, it's in a weird state, because it's been almost 2 years, I think, since they came out, and I'm pretty sure they're going to get refreshed within the next 6 months or so. Maybe a little longer, but I feel like an AirPods Pro update of some kind is well overdue now that they... Of all the AirPods, Pros have the worst battery life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, from a non-audiophile perspective, I felt the same audio balanced equation with AirPods Pro as AirPods 3. I feel like the only difference is the rubber seal. It just, like, the sound quality itself sounds the same. It's just... Basically, Apple's put a $70 price on active noise cancellation.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. It's like, are you willing to pay an extra...
And
the silicon tips. Some people might...
I love it, just putting a silicon tip into my ear hole, and it just slides right in there very nice. And it stays in there real well.
You're putting so many images in my head, Nick. But
they're AirPods. What are you talking about?
Luckily they fit great for me. I don't have any issues with the comfort.
It fell out right now as you said that. It just came out. Yeah. I'm like, no, it's just
that's
right
such
one.
A hard thing to recommend, because it's going to depend on everyone's ears.
Yeah,
it's so subjective. But for me, at least, they could stay in all day and I would not notice them. They are a tad bit bigger than the AirPods 2, so I think I might feel them a tad more so than if I were to just put on AirPods 2. But yeah, I really, really am sad. They did not bring MagSafe charging to AirPods 2, because after trying the 3s now, I really, really want Apple to keep updating the original design. I don't want them to abandon this, because I know there's people out there probably like Randy, where they're like, this fits, but I can't get anything else to fit. AirPods 3 don't fit well, AirPods Pro wiggle their ways out over time, doesn't matter which suction cup you choose from, it's like... AirPods 2 are just the lightest, and I, from a subjective, non-audiophile, McDonald's-loving Apple sheep, I prefer the sound quality of AirPods 2 still.
Oh, wow.
Which is bizarre, I know, but I still very much think that the overemphasized bass sounds more impressive, more immersive than what the threes have going for them. I've only used the threes.
Do you think it's more immersive than the spatial audio?
Spatial audio is so dumb. I hate it. It feels like the tech is just bragging about how cool the tech is. It's not a useful feature to me. Like I was recording earlier when I got it.
No.
Oh my god. Not that at all. This is the polar opposite because it's non-functional and it doesn't help at all. Like I got up earlier.
It's LiDAR for your ears.
It's LiDAR. Yes. All right, that's a good title. I like that. LiDAR for your ears, because I get up and it's like, oh, okay, Nick and Randy are talking, and now I can only hear them on this ear. And I'm like, what is that supposed to help with? Is it supposed to help me understand, like, where my laptop is at a given time? Like, I know where it is. Like, maybe if I watched a ton of movies and shows with AirPods in, it would matter more, but I don't. If I watch a movie or a show, I watch it on TV or my iPad with my wife. So we're not doing a bunch of that. And even if I did, it's like, just play the sound in my ear. You don't have to figure out where my head is all the time. Like, which way is he looking? The audio profile should change if he's looking at the ceiling for 2 seconds. It's like, it is not a selling point to me at all. If anything, it's something I'm actively trying to turn off in FaceTime settings. I'm like, okay, this is annoying. Randy's voice is coming out of my left. Nick's voice is coming out of my right. It's just throwing off. That's not how I
figured out a way to turn that off.
Good.
What you do is you
stop doing it on the Mac. But
take one AirPod out, put it in the case, and then it fixes itself.
No. I hate that feeling.
Unfortunately, it does it naturally, and I'm just going to...
Yeah.
I'm just probably going to keep it out. Yeah.
No, I never liked having one pod in. It always makes my head feel heavier on one side than the other, and there's too much sound and then too much open sound on the other side.
I will say that the AirPods 3 gives my ear breathing room, though, that the AirPods Pro doesn't.
Yes.
And I like that. Okay, I feel like I just crapped all over AirPods 3. Let me say the good things about AirPods 3. Better sound. Your preference of bass, note it. And I think... I even was describing it in live time. I could feel the kick coming through on AirPods 2 on a song where with AirPods 3, I didn't feel it. I could just hear it. I'm being biased because it was one of my songs. I know what I was doing trying to represent a certain sound with that frequency.
Yeah.
And the AirPods 2 just like really... However,
right.
AirPods 2... doesn't have a good high end. The high end kind of is kind of crap.
Right.
Whereas AirPods 3 fixed that. So the sound quality is great. When we're doing AirPods 2, AirPods 3, my overall answer is AirPods Pro is the best sounding in ear next to anything. And AirPods Pro is what I would recommend anybody. Be that as it may, okay, Randy, I can't spend $200 plus on some AirPods. What do I get? Okay. If you like bassy stuff, Drew is saying that he likes the sound of that on AirPods 2 more. And I can tell you, I can feel the bass more on AirPods 2. So if you are a bass-heavy kind of listener, AirPods 2. If you like the spatial audio thing, if you feel like, oh, I kind of like the immersion that is happening right there, then there's only one to recommend out of that for that scenario. If you like... the fit more, and this is where it's more subjective, and I strongly recommend anybody try to go to a store and put this in the left ear. This thing doesn't feel like it's in my ear at all, so I found out I got weird ears. So that's what it is. I guess we knew. Well, quit, never mind.
What are you wearing now, Nick?
Me?
What are you wearing?
I'm wearing the Aunt Sweeney shirt and a white t-shirt.
Thank you. Okay, go ahead, Reed. I just wanted to make sure.
Is that the Aunt Sweeney shirt?
I think it is.
TM.
Oh my god.
The battery life is better in AirPods 3. So if you're gone for long periods of a time, AirPods 3.
That's an objective thing.
That is an objective thing. So if battery is important to you, AirPods 3. And if you care about the adjusting EQ, regardless of how the fit is, then that's something that they brought down to there. Oh, and I guess MagSafe. If MagSafe is important to you, that's cool too. But a lot of those things are more subjective than it is objective. The only thing I could confidently say objectively besides battery is sound frequency is coming in.
And the force stem, I would say.
Force stem, I don't even think about that. I don't use it, but you're absolutely right. Force stem is in my opinion, I think it's way better.
Yeah.
Than...
I don't know anybody who does that, to be honest. I've never done that, and I don't know anyone that's ever... I bet most AirPods wearers don't realize that's a feature, to be honest.
I can see that. They can
tap on the side to play and pause stuff.
So
they just take it out.
That just means that... am I keeping AirPods 3? Well, if you couldn't tell from my energy, yes, I'm keeping AirPods 3.
Ooh, okay.
Really?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
I was like, that sounded like a joke.
Here's honestly the only reason why, and it's very specific to me. I just got my Pros replaced. Remember? So I got I got brand new Pros. The case is still old, but they gave me brand new pods. So
yeah.
In good conscience, I can't spend 170 something just to. I got basically brand new Pros. So I'm just going to run those to the ground. And you said something, I think you said in your live stream, if not, I don't know when or how you said it, but also what you said, Drew, I agree. Even if you got the old AirPods 2 or 1, run it to the ground. Use them for as long as you can. Don't upgrade.
Yeah, use them until they don't work.
Yeah, don't upgrade just because there's something new. Because even if you do care about the sound quality, unless their battery degradation has hit it so bad now it's gotten quiet... You might as well. I mean, these are the most expensive pods you would have ever bought anyway at the time. So
yeah,
get your money's worth out of it. It's not going to resell well. So get your money's worth.
Sure. I'm also in that weird regard of like, I'm not really sure who to recommend AirPods 3 to, because I feel like everyday people don't care about the EQ or the balance of the headphones. They're just like, can I hear stuff? Okay, good. Then they're done. And if that's the regard... Who cares if they prefer heavier bass or a more balanced audio? Just get the cheapest one available. If AirPods 3 were cheaper, I'd recommend those. But $50 more for the force stem, better battery life, the wireless charging case. I guess AirPods 2 you can't get with a wireless case anymore. Hmm. Wireless charging case. Which is a bit of a bummer. But like to me, the running... recommendation I've been going with is like, if you're in the tech community and you don't care about active noise cancellation, go with AirPods 3 if you care about that type of audio difference. If you're not in the tech community, welcome to the Talos of Tech podcast.
Hi.
Why are you listening? But if you're outside of the tech community, like if your parents are asking you what they should get, or your grandparents want some kind of headphones, or you know, someone who doesn't care about those types of details, I still think AirPods 2 for $130 is a steal. That's really, really good. That's the cheapest I've ever seen Apple branded wireless headphones sell for. Like, that's pretty impressive. So, pros obviously if you want ANC, which I happen to fall into that camp. I do. As much as AirPods Pro aren't as comfortable as AirPods 3 or 2 for me, I definitely use ANC. It was like a lifesaver on a plane. And whenever I'm mowing the lawn, it's super duper helpful. So it's not something that I'm comfortable dropping with my daily headphones. Even if I prefer the heavier bass of the two, I'm like, if we're going on a flight or if I'm mowing the lawn, I'm still going to grab the pros. So my hope is that they don't die on me within the next few years, because... I replaced one bud and the case before my first year ran up. So one of these buds is almost 2 years old. And they sound fine currently. There's not any issues with them right now. But I have a feeling I'm going to have one in the next year. So I'm worried. But in the meantime, I don't have a use for AirPods 3, basically. I already think it's stupid that I have two pairs of AirPods. I probably, if I had to choose one or the other, I would just use AirPods Pro all the time. I just occasionally go back to the 2s because they stay in my ears better, and they have the heavier bass, which I like. But I could live easily with just the Pros all the time if I needed to. Did you get AirPods Max, Nick? Or were you
split? They're both looking at me like they just mentioned my name, but my AirPod died.
Oh.
Wait, can you hear me, Nick?
I Nick? Can hear both
y'all
of you.
Fill time. I'm going to go get my backup AirPods.
Okay.
Nick?
Answers okay. that question.
So this AirPods 3 case... I thought it was going to be like AirPods Pro. No, this looks more like a widget.
Yeah, it does look like a widget. It's so tiny.
Yeah.
It's a tiny thing. I dig the case, though. The MagSafe thing was so nice. Love the case.
I love that. It just goes right on it.
Uh-huh.
Oh, it's so cool.
And it holds its weight. You can even pick it up. I used it on MagSafe Duo yesterday. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
So... I wish they would sell AirPods 2 with a MagSafe case.
Oh my god. That would be the one I recommend. Even if the case is like $20 more or something, or $10, whatever, get the case. Yeah.
Yes.
I think...
I saw a leak that said that AirPods Pro would have a external facing speaker on the case that you could ping.
I saw that leak.
And find it, and I was like, okay, that's sounds nifty, like a little Pro feature that they couldn't fit into the cheaper models, but would be willing to upsell you on with a $250 pair. So,
sure,
that's probably more my route. I'm not saying I'm gonna buy and keep it as soon as it comes out, but if I was in the position to want to replace my headphones, that's probably the one I'd be looking at.
Yeah. Hi, Nick.
Apologies, guys. That actually wasn't the AirPods' fault. I think FaceTime was bugging out because the other AirPods also weren't working. It was like a really weird, like low bit rate audio where it was like, yeah, are they? Oh.
Was this on your Mac?
No, actually, this is a perfect MacBook that has zero problems. And actually, I was able to use the touch bar to quickly and effectively end the FaceTime call while I had OBS open. So,
no, it's FaceTime then, because it was happening to me too with Drew talking.
Oh, okay. Good.
Oh.
Well.
But when you said you couldn't hear me either, I was like, oh, that is something new then, I guess. Because I heard Nick go, mm-hmm. And
well,
I was like,
I
oh, we can
saying,
hear
mm-hmm,
Drew.
When I couldn't hear anything, because that's
oh, okay.
typically how it
yeah,
works.
Then we had a bad FaceTime connection.
It means he doesn't know.
Very good
yeah,
point,
like,
Drew.
That last no 10 seconds, you got very, like, your mouth was moving and only, like, and it's hard. I can't.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, but we're good.
Okay.
So, Nick, it was so, Nick because he reconnected the call. Now we're good.
It was my fault.
Yep.
As everything is in life, apparently.
You said you were mildly interested in some AirPods Max open box.
Yes, I was. And I'm now not, because there are life circumstances that have changed, mostly me realizing that the AirPods Pro are just fine. I still have, so I bought AirPods Pro when they came out. I didn't like them. I returned it very publicly. And then, in March of 2020, right before the world ended, like a few days before the world ended, I got AirPods Pro again. And
I have no recognition of this day.
I know, right? Me neither. And I got AppleCare on that. So I still have AppleCare until, I believe, the end of next year on them.
Oh, good.
So I've been kicking around the idea of seeing if I can get them replaced, because the battery is... significantly degraded. I'm getting maybe 2.5 hours or so on each pod.
Yeah,
which
that sucks.
It's not as bad as I had my OG pair of AirPods was down to, you know, measured in minutes instead of hours, but it's not bad.
Hummingbird battery life.
I got used to that song. Boop, 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 boop.
Yeah,
I cannot. Boop, 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 boop. Yeah,
break it down.
Break it down. Yeah, so I'm not interested in AirPods 3 at the moment. AirPods Pro are working out just fine for me, from what I've seen and heard, which admittedly is very limited amounts of seeing and hearing. They look great and they sound good. And if I have a friend who has one and wants to let me try them out real quick, I'll try give them a try. But I'm not interested enough to go out and review them.
If the fit does fit in your ear or anybody's ear, I think most people, it's a strong yes about like they should get these ones just for the battery health and mm-hmm. the case and yeah. the tech that comes with it for spatial and the adaptive EQ. I think they're all valid strong selling points, but my God, it needs yep. to fit. And
right,
that's so I tried a non-tech Drew. I was like, I went to my wife. I was like, hey, try these, and I didn't say no, just put them on. And she, okay, because she has AirPods too, so she grabs it and she goes, okay, puts it in. Ew, it's so big. And she took it out and me like, nope. She's like, AirPods 2. Nope. I'm like, okay, that answered my question. I just wanted to gauge it.
Yeah, if there's any Apple executives listening to this show, like usual, I would recommend you continue selling the AirPods 2 design. Or honestly, I wouldn't mind it if they kept the two the same pod design but updated the stem. So that we could retain the comfortability that a lot of people like about the, you know, original AirPod design, but without the tapping. Because I do prefer this look of the, like, the shorter curved stem. AirPods 2 look huge now with the giant cylindrical stem sticking out. Like, they look kind of dated, but they're tested and proven. Like, I'm having a hard time beating these unless you just need the ANC.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people in my personal life that still use the originals, and not that many people that use pros. So
shame. It's such a good. The more I try other things, the more I appreciate AirPods Pro. It's a shame.
If I always say it's to your advantage if you can live with less, you know.
That's true.
If you can get by, if you can get by with something that's cheaper and it doesn't bother you, that's money saved. You know.
Yeah.
We're all lost with side effects of noticing things and appreciating certain features.
It's like you guys with the touch bar. I never had it, so I can't miss what I never had. But having touch bar on iPad now, it really messes with me because I like using it. So I'm like, oh my God, I would have liked the touch bar if I ever got it. And so I'm yeah. glad I just completely dodged that because I saw it was adaptive. I'm like, oh no, this is dangerous.
No, no.
So something that I found just a few days ago, my good friend Scott, who's been on this podcast before, he's much more of a fan of the MacBook Pro than either of you guys are, apparently.
Never heard of him.
He was telling me about just how amazing the fact that the touch bar is gone, and he's like, oh, I'm so glad the physical keys are there and whatever. And I was like, why didn't I just let Steve Jobs give my argument on the touch bar? And I'm going to insert this little clip from Steve into the show here, which, yes, means I do need to edit it.
And what's wrong with their user interfaces? Well, the problem with them is really sort of in the bottom 40 there. It's this stuff right here. They all have these keyboards that are there whether you need them or not to be there. And they all have these control buttons that are fixed in plastic and are the same for every application. Well, every application wants a slightly different user interface, a slightly optimized set of buttons just for it. And what happens if you think of a great idea 6 months from now? You can't run around and add a button to these things. They're already shipped. So what do? It doesn't work because the buttons and the controls can't change. They can't change for each application, and they can't change down the road if you think of another great idea you want to add to this product.
So, Drew, if you want to debate with Steve, by all means, go right
ahead. I'd love to.
Okay, all right, go for it.
Your current MacBook Pro is guilty of the same problem.
It is.
It still has a keyboard with plastic physical buttons that you can't change.
I would much rather have a fully screen on the bottom case and no keyboard.
Yeah.
Your argument is that the touch bar shouldn't be there? Like, why wouldn't
it? I'm saying either go all in or don't bother.
At least the touch bar was a step in the right direction.
I said it's a step in a direction I cared about, but then they started selling physical keyboards for iPads. And I was like, okay, now what are we doing?
This is a step
by your logic, Nick, you should be using an iPad, not a Mac.
This is true. If only Apple allowed you to run macOS on the dang iPad, I'd be all over it. Ding it.
Virtual keyboards never bothered me. They bother a lot of people, but I've been totally fine without my Magic Keyboard case on the iPad. I'm totally fine typing on a touchscreen, but as far as I've seen, Apple has heard people's response that they like physical keys, they like something they can click and press, so it makes sense for them to not go the touch bar or all virtual
keyboard. Since when does Apple listen to the people? Apple tells the people what they want. Ugh.
I guess by the people, you know, there's people in charge at Apple that have discovered we want this, and we think lots of other people do.
Nah.
So as the people of Apple change, as we no longer have Johnny Ive, we no longer have Phil Schiller, the approach has changed to this is what Apple wants. It's just not the same Apple that we had 20 years ago.
You have to be open for change, Nick. You have to adjust with the times.
No.
Apple sheep or a Schiller sheep?
I am a Johnny sheep. I'm a Johnny sheep all the way.
Because I think Johnny Ive would have wanted a full screen keyboard on the bottom half of the MacBook. Mm-hmm. Or Mac OS.
I'm a love from sheep. I'm not afraid to admit it.
You could buy all of Love From's new products, but I will agree I do miss having it on my current MacBook.
Okay, good, good.
It's still a great machine, but it feels weird not having a touch bar there because I'm so
gentleman. Shall we talk about my MacBook Pro?
Oh.
Have you ordered
one yet?
No, not yet. But...
Oh,
okay.
Then we can't talk about your MacBook Pro.
Well, I now that we've had a healthy time of people posting their videos and it being out there and now they're not first impressions. People are getting full on with it. I went to an Apple store earlier this week and I got hands on with a 14 and 16 inch and it answered all my dying bleeding questions that Drew wouldn't be able to answer because he only had the 16 inch. I will tell you, first off, the 16 inch is the better MacBook Pro.
Ooh.
I'd say it's highly subjective, but for me, yes.
No. It has better speakers with the same quality of sound. It has louder speakers. You do not need, and this is where now need and want, you do not need an external monitor with the screen real estate of the 16-inch. It is huge. 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 Unless your name is Drew and you like to have Discord.
I was gonna say.
Wait. Unless your name is Drew and you like to have Discord and Twitter and YouTube and 17 things up all at once, even though your eyes can only look at one thing at a time.
It's not even that. It's just live streaming.
Live stream. Listen.
The chat and OBS.
I spent some time with the promotion, and I can confidently say I'm going to be docking this thing, regardless of whichever size. Like, I know that the promotion's cool. I like the design language of the curved corners and stuff. But when it comes down to brass tacks, gentlemen, it's going to be docked most of the time. And the times that it's not, it's going to serve its purpose as a standalone device. I doubt I'll be doing much streaming or something that requires that much screen real estate for long periods of time.
It's like that you're like, you don't need an external monitor. Mine's going to be docked.
Mine's going to be docked. with the 16-inch, that thing, I opened up, side-by-side opened up Logic. And all the extra tracks that you can add and show right there, I was like, yep, that's useful. I open up Final Cut. On the side, all the extra like data that you would have for your project files and then the events and the library and all that stuff, cool. But what really matters is the timeline. and then your preview window. But the timeline's going to be the same regardless. But the preview window, now that's different because now you're looking at something that's rendering in live time and you could see in playback right there. But at the end of the day, it's still, you know, your screen is either going to be this big or this big. But it's still, your preview window in Final Cut is either this size or this size. Mm-hmm. So, that's not really that much of a deal breaker in regard. Like, either way, you're going to get a good device and still better and bigger than the 13-inch MacBook Air that I have or anybody who has a 13-inch MacBook Pro. Yes. It's regardless, you're getting more screen real estate and brighter displays and fluidity and all that and the other. So I ran it through all the things that would be like day-to-day stuff. And the 16-inch MacBook Pro could replace high-end desktops like that. Not even a question. It has.
Dare I say,
perfect.
Mm. Ooh, that's a hefty word there, Randy. Be careful.
Pretty close.
That's why I say dare I say. But
3 USB-C ports?
Perfect.
No.
Perfect.
Far
perfection.
From
perfection. Perfection.
3 dongles.
With that though, I'm gonna get the 14-inch.
Okay.
Yeah.
You just confused the crap out of me, man. This is so good. Not for me though.
No, it is for me. But it's not. I've concluded to 2 different specs that I have to decide on, and I have not decided on yet. I am gonna get the 14-inch because when I'm on the go, I'm gonna have AirPods in, so I don't care about the speakers. I care about mobility. The 16-inch is so heavy. Oh my god, it's so heavy. I picked up the 14-inch with one hand. I'm like, okay, still heavy, but way more relaxing on my soon-to-be arthritis wrists than carrying the 16-inch MacBook Pro. So, mobility sake of it, the 14-inch is more accommodating for the stuff that I do. And I'm going to have AirPods or some type of headphones in. If I'm doing music stuff, I'm going to have my over-ears on. So very rarely will I do plain sound straight from the speakers. And when I do, it's not because I'm doing a sound check quality on, let me hear the range from the 500 and 600 hertz. I don't care about that part. The battery, all the same. Again, give it to the 16-inch. Definitely. That's the 16-inch is what the 13 Pro Max is. To the 13 Pro being the 14-inch. And so...
As in, you'll regret getting it.
Well, I've come to terms with the 13 Pro for what it is for me. But the 14-inch offers all the same specs, cheaper. And I've made the fundamental decision that I choose price over anything else. And even though I budget it for $5,000... I'm going over budget by $200 if I get the specs that I want on the 16-inch. And that's me using the military discount. I'm still going to be out of pocket over $200 over budget. And I don't want to budget on that. With the 14-inch, now I'm within range regardless. However, do I want the Pro or do I want the Max chip? Every single person who's tried both has said the Pro is good enough if you're not doing GPU intensive things. And the type of video editing that I would do with effects and render, it does not require to have a Max chip. So
I would say pretty much nothing requires a Max chip.
ProRes. High bit
rate.
It's
mainly there for those who are. Night. Yeah. It's there for those who are time crunched above all and are just like, any second you can shave off, I need.
Yeah, no, that's not me. That's not my lifestyle. Even though I'm not home,
no,
I'm a Californian. I'm a chill dude. Whatever, man. Hey,
no, I think M1 Render, Pro is perfect for your workflow.
What I would not compromise is RAM. So 32 gigs is more than enough, and that's me future proofing what would happen. Because 8 gigs right now on the Air gave me enough to have minimal issues with Logic. Me being aggressive with it. 16 is the base now. And that's not going to give me issues, but future-proofing, 32, So then I look at the storage. SSD is 8 terabytes, and I allot for that. I'm within budget. However, I'm not getting rid of my external SSDs that I have. So if I did bump it down to 4 terabytes,
storage will save you the most by far.
Say again?
Storage. Downgrading your storage will save much more money. Like, I was comparing if I would have opted for the M1 Pro versus Max. Thanks to the 6% cash back bug, I would save less than $200 if I went with the Pro.
Wow.
So it's not a big savings for me to not get the Max at this point. So
yeah, but the storage though, is
if
a
I opted
thing.
For 4 terabytes instead of 8, I'd save like a grand.
Right. Out the door, taxes and all for shipping it out here. I'm either looking at a 14-inch 4 terabytes of 4 gigs.
Just 4 gigabytes.
4 terabytes out the door would be $37.55.
Mac OS, not enough space.
Yeah.
I think that's a good deal, Randy. Even in your case, I wouldn't even say that you need the non-binned M1 Pro. I think you could get by with 14 core GPU personally.
Well, there is no binding on the configuration that I would get, because it's still going to be hang on, I'm looking at
cores. There's been 14 inch.
There is? Oh, mm-hmm. 14 inch. Yeah, I thought you talked about 14 core. I was like, wait, what?
No. No, like the base model M1 Pro has a...
Yeah, it has been 8 core instead of 10.
But 14 core GPU.
14 core GPU.
Instead of 16.
Oh.
I think that would still cover you, personally, if you want to save more, potentially.
I'll price that out. So, as it is, if I get the non-binned one, $37.55. If I get 8 terabytes instead of 4 terabytes, $49.10. Puts me $90 below budget. So, what I had to write out in plain text, guys, I had to say $11.55 difference for 4 terabytes more of SSD. The question I have to answer is that worth it? I don't know. Price is important to me, and if I can save $1,200, a little over $1,200 of my budget and reallocate that money to literally anything else, investments, I don't know, new camera lenses, who cares? If I can allocate that towards something else, that's cool.
Uh-huh.
I just needed to know if there was a substantial performance difference between the different variances between the Pro and the Max, and were there a difference between the 14 and 16 inch. Watching all these side-by-side comparisons and taking everything with a grain of salt, knowing that these are ideal conditions and blah, 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 it, confidently you could say that the 14 and 16 inch are neck and neck exactly the same. It's the Max and the Pro chip that will be different. And even then, the Max is so far ahead of its time. It's actually a testament of how great these chips are. I have to bring it back down to, let's get to the real level. Has the M1 regular given me any issues? No. My issue... Right.
That's why I think you could shave another $400 on it.
My issue was RAM and storage. Okay, yeah. I found a way to fix that. Your boy's happy, man. I'm good for the next 3, 4, 5 years easy then. Sure.
Yeah, I think so.
So you think I should go a step lower and drop it even more?
It would kind of be interesting, not that this really matters, but if from the podcast coverage perspective,
sure,
to have like, this is as bad as the M1 Pro can be, and it's still amazing. Based on the comparisons I've seen from different channels talking about even the binned option, they're extremely impressed, considering M1 was already insanely good. Now you're adding in more performance cores and mm-hmm. 2 cores out of the GPU. Come on, like,
yeah,
for what you're doing, I think it would cover it fine.
My only hesitance on doing that for podcast coverage issues is I feel like I've done that experiment long enough with the MacBook Air. This is the worst MacBook Air I can have, and it's the worst of the worst of the worst of the M1 chip as a whole.
That's
as
a
the
thin
M chip.
MacBook Air at that, right? It's only 7 cores.
I have the worst of the worst, and I'm working fine. I have the worst chip, the worst specs, and we've been
good
all year.
Mac Apple Silicon.
And it will never be this bad ever again. Like, it's only... Yes. So, I can confidently say that anything... that even if I got something equal to this, my issue was not that. The MacBook Air was fine. I remember telling you guys, and I stand by it, I only wanted to upgrade the MacBook Air if they brought back legacy ports. And they did. I use the SD card, and I use HDMI. So...
I haven't used HDMI a single time yet. I've used the SD card. I can also attest I have not used a single dongle with this laptop.
Woo! Minimalism! Take that one, Nicholas!
Typically, I would have to plug in my podcast mic, but the onboard mics are that good.
You fool!
This whole show, for real this time.
You fool!
It's all with the onboard mics, which some people thought sounded better.
I have a question.
Yes.
Now that you've come clean about this, the video you put out yesterday or today?
Nothing today.
Okay, then yesterday, your tech video you put out, was that filmed on your iPhone or was that filmed on the Mac?
It was ProRes on the iPhone.
Mm. Even audio? Or is iPhone audio?
Yes. Yeah, it was all iPhone. No external microphone. And I'm convinced that the reaction from the audience convinced me that I don't care about if the iPhone 14 gets better video performance. Because I'm like, even with ProRes, which I noticed right away, actually. I didn't think it would make a difference on the phone. I did a test shot. I've been so busy reviewing the MacBooks and the AirPods, I didn't get a chance to try out ProRes on the iPhone. And I just did a test video because I wanted to see how long the AirDrop would take to get from the phone to the Mac. So I recorded a one-minute video, just like a vlog, with ProRes. And then I watched it back, and I was like, is this 1080p? Because it looks 4K. Hmm. It's like ultra-sharp off the phone display. I could tell right away. It's like, this is really, really vivid. And it was 60 frames a second because I was like, 1080 at 60 is a good middle ground for me. And basically, the AirDrop time, for those curious, if you record ProRes 1080 at 60, it's about a second. So, a 10-minute video...
That's good to know.
...to AirDrop it to the Mac took about 10 minutes, which isn't great, but it's tolerable, especially if you're using it for, like, cutaway shots, if you're, like, editing something, grab a quick video. Okay, that video's 10 seconds, it'll take 10 seconds to AirDrop.
Cool.
But the reaction from the audience... was, is this recorded on the MacBook webcam? And you got the colors wrong. Didn't color correct it, by the way. Or someone's like, you turned up the sharpness too much. So wait, people's reaction was not overly positive by switching from a video. I've done cinematic mode in the past, and I got more positive reactions out of that.
Well, that's because you just look sexy when you have blurred background.
Whenever there's a blurred background, people are like, whoa, what did you do?
You look so cool. But
just regular ProRes, you know, you can't cheat physics of the smartphone lens. And that means everything's in focus. I will agree, though, it would be interesting if they did cinematic mode with ProRes at 4K at 60. That would probably be the best possible image you could pull out of an iPhone. But even then... I think people can still tell. Like, it's a noticeable thing of like, okay, the truth is still there that if you're in a pinch and you need to film something, you can do it on an iPhone, but people will notice it's an iPhone, and people will still be able to prefer a dedicated camera because it's got a full-size sensor, it's got a real lens, it's got actual depth, it's not artificial depth. And ProRes is very, very impressive smartphone videography, but it's not enough to change the game for me, at least, based on how people reacted. Because, for one, it takes forever to share the file. Much, much faster to just record it to my SD card, slide it in, import. And the reaction from audiences is always interesting to me. I love filming a video on something different and just seeing people guess. Because it tells me a lot about what people prioritize with their viewing experience. Like, if you tell them it's ProRes, now they're going to be pixel peeping. Oh, okay, well, it's very sharp or whatnot. But if you just film a regular video, don't address it, and post it, and see what people think, it shows me how little people really care or notice. Mm-hmm. When you're getting reactions of, is this on a webcam or is this on a phone? It's like, they don't know. Basically, average consumer sees blurred
background.
That's
quite the difference between a webcam like this or an actual camera.
Right. There's the fundamental truth is just that, like, the iPhone is a decent substitute, but not a replacement. So that makes me go, okay, ProRes is interesting. I think it's really great for close-ups. Mm. I notice it pulling out a ton more detail when you film things close, but that just doesn't fit my tech videos A-roll very well because I'm a decent distance.
Just do macro
camera,
mode on your eyeball.
Yeah. Hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
Just do a whole tech video with my face filling the entire camera. That'd be funny. But I'm very impressed with the MacBook microphones and the webcam quality, and I love that I can turn on portrait mode when I'm live streaming now. And I love that it doesn't have the variable aperture problem of the iMac Pro. Like, whenever I would record, though, you'd see the brightness flicker. Whenever I just move my head around, it would be like, whereas the ISP on the MacBook is so smooth, everything, like, it's instant. Like, the aperture, I know it's not really an aperture, but the
ISO
dynamic range adjusts instantly as soon as I turn off my studio light. Like, it doesn't take the time to go click, 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 like the iMac Pro did. So, as much as people say, image signal processor, who cares? It's like, I notice it because I use webcams a lot. And this is something that I'm planning to... I want to travel as light as possible in the future. So, having a machine that still has great battery, and although I've discovered OBS will bring all batteries to their knees, it doesn't matter how it is.
Yeah.
This is the third podcast I've recorded today. I started at 100%, and I didn't have it plugged in this morning. So, I recorded movie reviews, and then we recorded EV, and that was... I think four hours in, it was already down to like 9%, 8%. I am FaceTiming and recording in OBS, but it's much better than the M1 MacBook Air did back when I had that. I did streams with that, and pretty much it's near impossible to ever do like a 1 hour or 90 minute live stream on a laptop on battery power. But my MacBook Pro did it. When I did my live stream yesterday, I started at like 92%, and then I did a 94-minute live stream, and it was at 47. So the fact that on a single charge it can sustain an entire live stream, and then I still have juice left over to edit a video. Video editing is insanely good. It's like it barely goes down as I'm exporting. I'm so used to whenever you export a video, your battery just instantly drops really quick. So the battery's already like not quite cutting it for every daily use because I consider myself a fairly heavy user. I'm doing a lot of several video exports, several live streams, podcast recording. So that's why I really am preferring the 16-inch just because I need the best battery possible because I know this one isn't even getting it through the day. So I still got a plan for a charger to be nearby. And most of the time I've been able to charge everything off the 30-watt brick, but until we started doing this podcast, when it got down to 9%, I think like halfway through EV, I plugged it in with the 30 watts and it was still going down. It was like 8, 7, 6, and I was like, okay, I guess I gotta get the 140-watt brick, because I don't have a bigger brick than 30 other than the one that the MacBook came with, so... Just as we started recording today is the first time I've actually used it. And it does fast charge, oh my god. Even while recording, it's at 100% now. So it didn't take it long, but that 140 watts is no joke. It charges it up fast, so I'm going to take it off the charger now. But I'm just babying it. It's in its like, oh my god, what have we done? We've spent too much money on a computer. And we're in the phase of like, oh, I can't eat at the desk now. I wash my hands before I use it. I'm trying
is
to
this a, is, are you trial best... are you doing a dry run of what it will be like when you're away from home? Is that why you're doing all this not docked, going off the thing, no yeah. plugged in?
Like, I want to know if I'm in a situation where I'm not near a power outlet, like how much can I do? Can I edit? Basically, I've discovered that on a full charge I can edit two videos and export them and do a 90-minute live stream before needing to plug in again.
So you can work.
Usually my
So, yeah, Drew, what method of transportation are you thinking you're going to be taking most of the time? I mean, it sounds like road trips, right? Seems to be at least
not always. I mean, several, probably pretty half and half.
Okay,
half
the so time, on the road flight, trips, I can fix driving. Half of them. On the road trips, I recommend you picking up one or two of these absolutely enormous batteries that you cannot take on airplanes because yeah. it'll charge your Mac at 100 watts and...
It charges
my Mac three
output?
Times. It does 100 That's 100 watts watt? Output. Yep, 100
wow.
watt output max. It
God.
Is 35,600 milliamp hours.
My God.
So, highly recommend these.
Yeah. If I'm in a situation where I need more power than the MacBook can handle, I'd probably be in the market for it. But I'm pretty confident I'll have access to power at least when I go to sleep.
Okay.
So
yeah, at least once a day.
Yeah, but I'm doing my best to research what the best charging habits is. Most have said that leaving it plugged in all the time is fine, but I was torn on whether or not should I use the 30 watt most of the time and only use 140 when I absolutely need it, and I can't get a straight answer. Some people are saying 30 watts better because it doesn't fast charge and fast charge heats up the battery, and other people are saying you should use 140 because then it can comfortably power the whole Mac instead of requiring some battery power and some wall power, which is what the 30 watt. But I keep running into situations where the 30 watt is enough. But this is the first time I've podcasted with the MacBook, and this seems to be the thing that brings it to its knees. If you record and FaceTime for like,
are you even using the webcam as your video feed?
Yep.
Nice. Yep. You're doing
it. You guys
everything.
Are seeing what
oh, really?
The audience will see.
That's oh, wow. crazy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's cool. I can't wait to do so, the experiment.
I didn't want to keep using the iMac Pro once I did a live stream on this. I was like, this looks objectively better. I get the portrait mode, which the iMac Pro can't
do. It looked
do.
Good.
You need Apple Silicon for that feature. And the flickering of the lighting with the iMac Pro was bugging. At least 10 people complained about it, but it was kind of bugging me because they pointed it out. So the fact that this doesn't have that and... I can live stream and pick up the laptop and go other places. Haven't noticed a big detriment in bandwidth by not having Ethernet either. I thought that would be a problem.
So, Drew.
Yes.
I want to give you my two cents about this whole battery health thing that has you on alert. The system knows when it's docked and running and when it's not, right?
Yes.
And I'm pretty sure we talked about this before. I would, if I were you, well, actually, I'm taking my own advice. This is going to be me when I get mine. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm just going to use the MagSafe as is because as we speak right now, I've been sitting at 82%. And it just has it, the plugged in icon, not the lightning, because it knows I'm docked. And you can go in and tell it to stop charging it and just to hold its charge if you think... It's juicing because it's only going to hurt your back. That feedback about like it's going to heat up the battery when it's giving it juice. If that is the case, and I'm not convinced that is the case, but if it is, you can have it cap off like you would an EV. I wanted to stop at 90 or 80 or whatever. It can stop at 50 for all I care. Just as long as it's not going to push it to its extreme, then have it stop right there. Honestly, though, with in regards to performance, whether it's pulling power from the battery or the wall, I don't think that's the part that's going to hurt the battery long term more so than it is the constant feeding it through its life cycles. That's what's going to bring the battery down.
That's unavoidable for
me. And that's
like it's going to get used like crazy every single day with streaming and editing. Like I know I can't limit the cycles. That's a given.
Then get yourself situated to have MagSafe do its job and give you the power then for when you need it, because that's exactly why you got the bigger battery anyway, to elongate the longevity of the health of the battery or the life of the battery. So, I'm taking a very approach to things lately now in the last couple of years.
What is that approach called again?
A little.
Because I genuinely, on most things, do not care about battery health.
Sure.
Like,
my treat iPad, the MacBook as no different. The MacBook, trust that it knows what it's doing and it knows how to allocate its power energy. The only time I would worry about it.
I guess that's what I'm mostly doing. Yeah.
Yeah. The only time I would worry about it, and from what I'm hearing, I think I heard from you, I don't know, but if you're going to do peak performance, then obviously that means that you're going to put it in maximum overdrive, change it to Wombo, yes. And give it. Change it to Wombo, yeah. and now, you know, yeehaw, let it go. But honestly, I think since iPhone 11 Pro, I stopped tracking that stuff because these systems are smart enough now to know how to mitigate all of it. I trust that it knows how to do longevity of it.
I'm that way too.
I am not in the camp that Apple is trying to hurt its products to make you upgrade sooner. I no longer believe that. And I look no further than...
I never believed it, but...
One point I did, but once I saw, you know, I look no further than the iPhones, still getting upgrades. SE, first gen, still getting upgrades.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah. Wait a minute. This is silly. Yeah, I don't believe that anymore. So that's my stance. And so because of that, trust your machine knows what it's doing to protect itself long term.
Right. Most of this week, obviously, I was using the 30-watt brick, and it was charging it, and it wasn't draining power even while editing. I just figured I'm comfortable leaving it plugged in all the time because I do trust the machine knows what it's doing. It's just if I have both. I have a 140-watt brick, and I have a 30-watt brick, and I'm going to leave it plugged in a lot. Which one is going to hurt it the most in the long haul? Even if it's a small detail, even if it's a small difference. And it is something I plan on owning for 5-plus years, so I'm probably going to thank myself more in 5 years. Right now, I don't think it'll make a difference. I don't even think it'll make a difference in the next 3 years, however I charge it. Just I trust that it's going to preserve the battery best it can. I just wondered... That's why I was asking people, and I can't get a straight answer, which one is going to result in technically better battery health, because I can't avoid the high cycle life. This is going to get used 5-6 times a week, all day, and it's going to get probably a full cycle in every day for years and years and years. So if there's any slight edge I can give it by going with 30 instead of 140, is the 140 watt... This is the first time. Today is the first time I've needed to use the 140.
I feel so honored.
Is the 140 watt brick just for recording podcasts, and should I use 30 watt the rest of the time, or should I just use 140 all the time?
How lucky are we? Are you sold yet,
but
Nick?
The performance?
Heck no. Heck no. So I've been avoiding most of the YouTube reviews of this computer. Most of them, because I don't want my whole feed to become reasons why to buy this terrible computer. I actually don't want to even look at it in the thumbnails. It's disgusting to look at. But that said, I've watched your video, Drew, on how fast it did your timeline exports. Impressive, very much so. I also watched Max Tech's comparison to the M1 MacBook Air, I believe, one of the M1 laptops. And... that video really showed me the only time I would ever need anything more than the current M1 processor is if I ever switch to recording video in 4K ProRes. If I do make that switch, which it is on the roadmap at the moment to upgrade cameras that will record 4K at 160 frames a second ProRes, then I will definitely need, unfortunately... hopefully a Mac Mini that has the M1 Max with the...
What about the iMac Pro?
If there's any way to get this chip that isn't in the MacBook, I will heavily consider that.
I think the Mac Mini, I'm not certain, is happening
yeah,
based on Randy's prediction.
I'd agree with Randy.
iMac Pro, I have a lot of faith in because Ross Young is reporting on it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we should do more separation of analyst and leaker.
I
think there should be a separation.
Hang
there,
on.
There isn't really.
I'm with you, Drew. Give me a second. All right, go. I saw you grab your pencil.
Ross
so.
Young, Ming-Chi Kuo are analysts.
I see.
So... I trust them. I don't know. I have immense respect for Ross Young after the 120 hertz on the MacBook thing, because literally no one else had said it. And like 3 days before, he's like, "Oh yeah, it's 120."
Ross was like, is the man. I like him.
Don't be playing with me, Ross. And he's like, "I'm not playing. I'm
you
just
made,
telling you what
you
we're
made
seeing." And it says they're buying.
You made a veiled threat covered in entertainment, saying, "I will not forget this if you are wrong."
I will never forgive, and I don't forget if you're wrong. And he wasn't wrong. So I will not stop crediting him until he is objectively, like, really, really wrong on something. And so far, he hasn't been. So the fact that he's saying there's a 27-inch iMac with mini LED and 120 hertz plan for next year, I'm mildly curious, because I'll admit one complaint I do have. I have very little complaints with this new MacBook. It's funny because Randy was saying earlier, you don't need an external monitor if you get the 16-inch. It feels very crammed. display feels
awfully
small.
I knew you were
going to
go there. I knew it.
Which is the primary reason I didn't want to go for a 14-inch. The battery life is helpful, but already, just editing in Final Cut and live streaming with the chat and OBS and the stream health sections and all the things I'm trying to maintain. Even with Sidecar, it's like, man, this is a small screen, and yet I'm hearing all these people like, "Oh, this screen is so huge." I'm like, every time I need to grab something like an intro or an outro or the music to airdrop it to the MacBook, I'll go on my iMac Pro and be like, "Whoa. I can breathe again. This is so much better."
So what you're saying, Drew, is Apple needs to make a good monitor.
I would be very interested in an Apple-branded, because I hate all of the third-party ones me and Randy looked at. And
yeah.
I don't like the design of the chassis. I'm sure the panel is fine. That doesn't bother me. Yep. I can live with 1440p. That's not a big deal. But they all have a little bit of a chin. They all have these big gamer aesthetics on the back because
RGB
Apple
lights.
People have never been in the market for high refresh rate monitors. Hopefully there's an uptick in that so a few companies can be like, "Hey, you don't have to make everything red with giant blades that try to make it look like an F22 every time you design a monitor. You know, you can make just a clean, thin bezeled, high refresh rate
Is
monitor."
Is target
that's
display
fine.
Mode still a thing?
Not on the new ones, but Monterey includes AirPlay on the Mac. So I haven't done this yet because I've been recording all morning, but last night I hadn't used my iMac Pro much, so I just checked settings. I was like, "Is there an update?" And it's like, "Monterey is available." I was like, "Oh yeah, right, that came out." So I hit upgrade. So the iMac Pro, I haven't even turned it on today. I don't know if it's installed it. It hasn't yet. It's like, to begin the installation. So I might end up using my iMac Pro temporarily as an external monitor for the MacBook.
That sounds like
I
a perfect job
hertz.
For an Intel chip, honestly.
This is what an Intel Mac is good for. It'll basically become a dedicated monitor for, because I do prefer editing with a mouse. I've been editing with the trackpad. I haven't paired. I don't know if you guys have experience with this, but as soon as you connect a Magic Mouse to another Mac, it will literally never connect to another Mac again. It's like, "No, what do I connect to?" And you're like, "No, connect to this one." And it's like, sorry. Luckily, the MacBook has a trackpad to fall back on, but the iMac has nothing. So you can't go into the iMac Bluetooth settings when you don't have the mouse connected unless you get another mouse, which...
A lightning cable.
Funny enough, I don't have one. I don't have a secondary mouse.
Oh, wait. You use those kinds of mice. Oh, yeah, you can't even use... Oh, I'm so sorry,
Drew. You can't
Drew.
Plug this in via wired.
No. Nope.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Drew. That's why you get the trackpad for the desktops. That's the far superior input
Well, I've
method.
Got a trackpad now. But if universal
wrong,
control
wrong,
is a thing...
Wrong, how can you say so much wrong in two episodes, Nick? I don't understand this.
I want universal control. Because then I could just use my Magic Mouse
I
on
I use
the
it all the time and... with my G4 Cube. Look at this.
Didn't you have to like lock it into a certain beta?
It is still on
beta?
All the certain betas at the moment. But I know it's... I think I heard rumors, or I saw probably about a week ago, someone on Twitter said that it was out in the dev beta, and I haven't taken the time to update. But it's so nice to be able to control everything, you know.
Anything to get off of 15.1, do it. 15.1 is effed right now. I am
iOS?
On iPadOS is pretty bad.
iPad.
Oh, I was having a lot of bugs too. Not the same ones, but there were missing buttons and man. Apple has done everything to make me hate iPadOS this year. My God.
I can't check anything on the iPad. I'm surprised I was able to take the FaceTime call. Because right before you got called, I called you guys and it just was pending. I'm like, what are you pending for? Connect the call. And it just didn't do it. And then you guys called.
Yeah, I don't have 15.1 yet, so I guess I'll just
wait. I implore you, please. It's not worth it. Whatever you think, share screen or what? Share play. What? It's not worth it. I can't even try it. Like it's wait. There needs. I believe there's gonna be like a 15.1.1 or something like that. There is a big issue. So I was trying to get ready for the universal control as well. I'm like, oh, let me get everything up to date. Oh my God. I don't know. Hey Drew, I took your challenge. I've spent the last week undocked with the exception of today doing this.
Yeah.
To see how my workflow would be using just the screen. And that was one of my deciding factors. Like I can work off the 14 inch because I found myself comfortably working off of the 13-inch, from the live stream that I set up when I unboxed the AirPods 3 and Logic and this and everything and anything in between. Obviously, yes, I'll take the greater screen real estate where I can get it. But in those places where I need that tight pinch, I found myself very comfortably using the 13-inch fine. My wife has a 16-inch equivalent for her work. And she brings her laptop home, and I was like earlier this week, I was like, "Can I see that real quick?" Yeah, I just wanted to do a side by side. She goes, "Sure." And I'm looking at it, and this is before I went to the Apple Store, and I'm like, "Wow, okay, this is big. This is a lot to take in." But my overall fear that I still could not test, and you'll be the only one to really know about this, Drew, is. I suspect a bigger screen means it's pulling more energy to drain the battery quicker than it would on the 14-inch.
Oh, sure. I'm 100% sure.
I would hate to be in that predicament where I feel like I'm running out of battery quicker because I'm just having the screen open longer.
Well, the battery is physically larger to accommodate for that, though. That's why the 16-inch...
See, I always thought the battery was accommodating Apple for that high-performance mode thing or that only the 16-inch has.
They have the same chips, so if you're just doing M1 Pro, that power draw, I assume, is mostly the same between the 16 and 14. But I'm glad you can live with it. It's just interesting that we've discovered the opposites. You're like, let me try working just off the laptop, and you were like, okay, I can work with this. And now I'm doing it, and I'm like, I don't like this very much.
Drew's going to switch back to Intel confirmed.
Drew is purposely giving himself worst case scenario in preparation of when he plans to do any type of
My worst case scenario is just work, though. So I'm just working.
You're just working while you're supposed to take R&R and you're going to be working or whatever. My lens that I'm looking through this through is knowing full well 90 plus, I will be docked. And so...
Yep.
That's where it's like, it's a money thing then. That 5 to 10% where I'm not docked, that then... Am I gonna be spoiled about it? No, because I got the storage now and I got the RAM, and that's what I needed. If I need the extra screen real estate, if Sidecar still isn't cutting it for me, I mean, that's a problem for future Andy to cross that bridge when we get there. But that will be the exception, not the rule, where I am leading to believe for you, Drew, you want to cover your grounds for the next 5 years. 5 years is a long time to be doing a lot of things. So you're like, I need to make sure I get this right because I'm locking in for, you know, longer than some CDs that people put their money in to get some higher interest rates.
I don't really have a choice. Like this is as maxed out as it gets, so it's not like I can get something else if this doesn't cut it. I'm enjoying the benefits because I'm producing tech and EV videos every day and doing all these live streams. So the sooner I switch to this, the better, basically. I can save more time. The EV videos, oh my God.
Tell
because
me.
They're 1080p?
Yeah.
They export so fast. It's like 60 seconds and they're done.
That's
I just,
amazing.
Like, finish a video, I'm like,
it might be the placebo right, for export. Me, but I think you are. You look like you're having more fun with EV lately, and I think it's placebo because of how quick you can get everything done. I don't know. I've been enjoying
they're
your EV stuff lately.
Right now, I'm excited with what's going on in the EV community, but the list of video ideas I have is all tech right now.
Ah.
I have a huge list of tech video ideas and a fairly short list of EV video ideas, but I've loved coming to work every day and using this, you know, after I wash my hands and make sure everything's
you get in a big PPE and, suit with the gloves and the face shield and no dandruff on the keyboard.
But using a Mac with 120 hertz and being able to export things so much faster and being able to pick it up and move it when I've already been this morning just being like, okay, where can I put the iMac Pro? Because my desk is full right now and I'm trying to clear things off.
In the garbage.
So, yeah, iMac needs to find a better home, or I need to find a better place in the house for it because it's just taking up space on my desk and I'm not using it.
I thought it was going to the missus. I thought she was going to be using it.
Well, possibly, but I need to put it in a place where she can use it, where it's not in my way, because right now this is where I do all my work, and and we don't really have a good second desk for it right now. Mm. So it has become useless very quickly. The only thing I like about it is the larger screen size, but I definitely don't want to keep it just as a monitor.
Drew.
So I'm interested in selling it.
I will make you the exact same offer that Apple gave Randy for his iMac, $200, and you pay for shipping.
Woo! That's mean.
Yeah, that would be a bargain, huh?
That's mean.
I would buy it again for $200.
Oh, that's mean.
But
too soon, Nick.
Oh, is that really too soon? It's been like a year, buddy. Come on.
No, it hasn't. It happened earlier this year.
What's the M1 MacBook Air you replaced it with? Yeah. That was October, right? Wasn't that October time frame?
2021's almost over. No, the M1 event was in November, so...
It was November. Okay. So, coming up on a year.
Yeah, we're nearing the one-year mark. This is one of Randy's longest stopgaps.
Right? And he's still waiting.
Well, if I place my order right now, I'll get it early December.
Check Best Buy. Check Best Buy. I've noticed
They have them in stock even at Apple, but not my configuration. I've looked everywhere.
I
don't
know. Best Buy has some of the configurations. I've been watching that, too.
But think about the 3%.
True. Or 6%.
3% and my military discount.
I got the Apple card for this one purchase. This is where it makes a difference.
I mean, I can't argue with that, Drew.
If Best Buy would honor the military discount, I can put it on a different credit card and get close to 3%. But if they don't honor the discount, then
I didn't think about the military discount. Yeah.
I will never pay full price.
So just order it now
again.
And then wait till December. You're only a month away.
Because this is so the difference is because I'm going to hold on to it for at least 5 years. I'm not jumping the gun. I can wait. That's the difference between me and I guess Drew, where he's like, I want to be ready now, and he wanted to max it out, and that's a right frame of mind. My approach is
it impacts my work pretty directly. It's like, as the sooner I get this, the faster I can get videos out.
And I agree with that.
Which is helpful.
I agree. Yeah. I am already ahead of the curve now because of that crappy iMac. So,
yeah.
MacBook Air is keeping me alive. And because of that, I'm going to make this purchase right. I'm going to get it right this time. I'm not...
The MacBook life support.
Oh, my God. The longest stopgap ever. I can't wait to get rid of it, but that doesn't mean I don't appreciate you, sir.
Randy, I will make you the same deal as Apple gave you for your iMac, for your MacBook Air. I will give you $200, and you pay for shipping.
Apple hasn't lowered the trade-in value on my iMac Pro, surprisingly.
Ooh.
Because they're waiting for you to accept the lowball first.
You're probably the last person, Drew, with an iMac Pro at this point.
That is definitely
True. 100% true.
Not true.
I can't think of many other YouTubers that are like, yeah, I normally use my iMac Pro.
But not this time.
Yeah, this is the first Mac I've ever got that actually outperformed my iMac Pro. Out of all the other Macs I've reviewed over the years, none of them beat it.
And that is impressive for the 2017 iMac.
It's impressive for the iMac that it held up that well.
Yeah, I got to do a four-year review video. I'm going to definitely recap it and give it a final closure and thank you before we
unceremoniously demolish it. Throw it in the dumpster.
Throw it in a dumpster. Just end the whole video. It's like all cinematic. We're going to shoot it on the Red, get all these close-ups, and just be like, it was looked at as a stopgap. People thought it was a trap, but it actually ended up being the solution. It was a savior for all the pros, and it held me over so well, and nothing else could beat its value. And then last second of the video, it's just Ron Swanson. Chucks it in the dumpster.
Yes. Oh, I love it.
Is that today's video?
It's crap.
That's today's video?
What? No, it's not. I need more time to make that one. But I need to clean it up. It's just kind of ugly collecting dust sitting there now. And I really only installed Monterey so that I could turn it into a monitor. That's the sole purpose.
Wow.
You were right to do this.
I wonder how much of the resolution is preserved. I know it can't be 5K.
You're already going to feel icky because it's going to be 60 hertz.
That's true. Man. It sucks. Don't you hate it when there's like a product that so clearly could exist and yet it doesn't?
We've been saying about that with the MacBook Pro for 3 years. We've been waiting for the right MacBook Pro.
Like, we can't get AirPods that check all the boxes. You have to like pick your battles with AirPods. Yeah. And the MacBook checks pretty much all my boxes. I hate my iPad a lot more now, to be honest with you.
Oh, no.
It's so pointless now that I can get all of the things I love about it on the Mac, like Mac OS. and
ouch.
I've realized now Face ID on the Mac doesn't matter to me very much because it boots up from my Apple Watch so fast. Like, the only reason I like Face ID on the iPad is because it doesn't unlock via my watch. Whereas now, I come in here at the beginning of the day, haven't touched the laptop in like a good 10 hours, and before the lid has even opened, my watch goes...
Oh, Craig is so happy about that.
Yeah, is it every time I open it, I'm like...
How cool is that?
Why would I upgrade for Face ID?
In fact, the iPad is the only device that doesn't unlock with Apple Watch now. Because the phone does.
iPhone does. The Mac
says a lot about how dumb iPad OS is.
Does. Wow.
Yeah, unlocks the Mac and the phone and the watch. Yep.
Yeah.
The watch unlocks the watch.
Does the watch unlock the door, though?
There's probably some third-party NFC app.
That's weird. The phone unlocks the watch when you put it on, but the watch unlocks the phone going forward from there.
They unlock each other.
They unlock each other. What a cute relationship.
Like, I love that.
Aww.
It's like security that you don't notice. That's what I appreciate about biometrics. It's like, if you don't realize it's there, but I think the 120 hertz has really solidified that this is going to be a long-term purchase, because I have a difficult time understanding what they're going to change that would make me go, ooh, I really need to upgrade now. I don't know.
Maybe...
I know it'll get faster, but...
I don't know.
It's already pretty insane.
Honestly, I think what will change is the operating system. You'll need to get a newer one that runs the latest operating system.
But we know how long that takes.
Yeah.
To get a Mac discontinued, that's like a 7, sometimes 8 year process.
My iMac that I sold this year is the last one on the block to get Monterey. Late 2015.
For the iMac line, yes.
Yeah. So
for the MacBook line, I think the 2014 and later. Let me check. But I know that the Mac OS updates are very long term, and now that it's Apple Silicon, even there's even less reason to discontinue.
This is I don't know what the right, you know what, maybe you have to upgrade if there's something that's failing in the future. Like, oh, there's a big screen issue. There's a battery issue. There's another keyboard issue or something. Maybe something to that effect.
I really hope that's not the case.
Yeah.
I'm definitely not going to... Especially in the first... If it happens in the first year, I can get it replaced under warranty.
Sure.
If it happens in the second or third year, I do not want to spend another $6,000.
Did you get AppleCare?
I would have to... I never get AppleCare on anything.
Ooh.
But I've never needed to. Hot because take. Everything works so reliably.
Ooh. Look at Nick.
I have faith.
I mean, I have faith SSD. Too, but it's not in that.
Well, if it's a screen issue, I'm sure it's going to be covered. Apple will cover it the same way they covered the AirPods, you know, crackling out.
My wife's MacBook from 2008 still works. It's slow, but it didn't have any cataclysmic failures.
But Drew, if you have all of your files on the one 8 terabyte SSD inside of your laptop, it could fail and you could lose everything. That's why you need to have external drives, Drew. Very important.
External drives have failed on me. I've never had an internal one fail, though.
My cousin's brother said he had this problem. I guess my cousin's brother is also
Porsche
my
drive
cousin.
Died.
Mm.
But I've never had an Apple hard drive go bad on me.
I don't want
or SSD.
Don't want to jinx it, but I've never had any of that go bad on me. I just know moving parts is a matter of time, but even my HDD, nothing. I'm still good there. So
okay, so MacBook Pro is early 2015 and later. MacBook Air is early 2015 and later. But Mac Mini is late 2014 and later.
Yay.
And Mac Pro is late 2013 and later. So the trash can still gets Monterey.
Ooh.
No Type C, but.
Yeah. The trash can.
It's
I
still
can,
getting updates.
I don't know who would be using that right now. The trash can Mac Pro. Woo!
They must be out there. I've heard they're selling for pretty cheap now. Understandably. But
yeah. Phil Schiller's like the only advocate still with it.
Yeah, he still can't innovate my... Well, I guess they're going for like 900, 2000.
No. I would rather put that money towards the MacBook Air M1.
So, I don't know.
Hey, Nick, can I ask you an honest question about MacBook then, if you're not interested?
Since we're at the end of the podcast, no one listens, I'll answer honestly.
Okay. Next year... White bezeled MacBook Air, MacBook Pro base model, and all that. If that's true, if that comes to be true, and Touch Bar, humor me, Touch Bar's still there. You will do it based off of Touch Bar alone?
Bro, Touch Bar alone.
If there is no Touch Bar, but it keeps the design that you love.
If there is no Touch Bar? Oh, if there is no Touch Bar. See, that's the problem. I don't mind... living a year and a half, 2 years on an M1 computer, theoretically, if I can keep the Touch Bar. But I know at some point it will be inevitable. And I don't know at what point it will be inevitable in the immediate term. So,
yeah. I say you just say the new Mac OS ain't worth it. Just keep buying.
At some point, I'll be like, oh, this M1 chip's so slow. Oh my gosh! My 8K at 70,000 frames.
I can't believe I thought this was fast.
Super slow
video. 8K, because you have to zoom in on Mars.
I do. You have to. I mean, you got to have Mars and the Starship in the same slow mo video.
Not just the planet.
And it needs to be at 30,000 frames a second because I'm either the slow mo guys or the smarter everyday dude. So one of those. It has to be slow mo.
Right.
At 8K.
You need a slow-mo video of Starship landing on Mars in detail.
Boy, I really want to do that.
It's going to take quite a lens. It's
yeah.
Gonna be
oh,
like
oh. I thought you meant being on the surface, but
no,
that too.
You'll be right where you are now. Just
dang it! I don't want to do that then.
Really big sensor.
So you're not 90K. Interested in the you're indifferent about white bezeled notches.
Oh yeah, I said it with the 24-inch iMac. I love white bezels.
But
what
notch?
About a white notch?
I love notches. I've never had a white bezeled notch, but I probably would love it.
My brain hurts.
Drew's face is perfect.
It doesn't black. Think about watching videos with black bars with the white notch.
I don't watch videos on my Mac.
Think about the menu bar. The
I'm now imagining a beautiful minimal white desktop.
It'd be full of black dots.
Things. Yeah, it would be full of black dots. That would be a little less exciting, but I don't know. I'm not opposed to it. I wouldn't mind a white bezeled white notched MacBook, but if it doesn't have a touch bar, that would be a no-go. Yeah.
Other than the lack of touch bar, I think you might like the next gen MacBook Air, because I think it'll be basically just a 12-inch MacBook with.
But I think eventually I'm going to need the performance of that beautiful M1 Max chip. I hate that name so much. I hate it.
So beautiful.
So unclear.
Pro. What about the Mac Pro?
The Mac Pro.
I would love a Mac Pro. We'll start the Mac Pro Fund. Everyone, come support me on Patreon. I'll shout you out at the end of every podcast, and you'll get your name in the credits. And if you have an Apple referral code, I'll drop it in the description below here.
But only up to 10. He's not doing no more than 10.
Mac Pro. Nick's Mac Pro. All right,
tell you what. This is 100% serious. If y'all crowdfund a 14-inch MacBook Pro, I will get it, ports included. That is something you can take to the bank. Well, I will take it to the bank. Yeah, I will take a free one. Yep, 100%.
Wow, that is quite the compromise. Yeah, that's quite the compromise, Nick. A free Mac.
I wouldn't pay for it. I'd still open it every day and be like, "This thing is so ugly."
How dare you disrespect the Mac that much? Hey, I'll get it, but I'm not paying for it. Cancel Nick again. This is episode. Cancel Nick again. Who's Dave Chappelle?
Sorry,
we're canceling Nick now.
You can only cancel someone once.
Tell that to Dave Chappelle.
It's okay. I'm just going to do another comedy tour. No worries. And Randy said the obligatory, slightly offensive / political thing. And I have just the MacBook Pro. I've also wished that Marquez would come on the show and Air Power would come out. But we already had Marquez on the show, so I don't know why we still say that one.
Air Power is
so dead.
Thankfully dead.
But we can have Marquez again. Marquez, come talk to us about Rivian.
And I'm
who cares
about
if it's not
the
EV?
Cybertruck.
Oh, bingo. Thanks all.
And
for
we're
listening.
Doing a Trump impression near the end. There we go. That's a bingo. Okay, folks, believe me. Bingo. All right.
I already mentioned 120 here. Okay.
Yep, we're good.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Have a great week.
Have a good week. Bye.